When I was growing up, we were attending Walnut Hill United Methodist Church. I can remember being extremely excited when we would have communion. It would be the one service in the sanctuary that I would really look forward to. It would excite me, it would thrill me, in part because it was a time when our whole family, mom and dad and my bratty brother Chuck and I, would have a chance to go forward together and to kneel at the rail, because they had a rail there at Walnut Hill. And the minister would come by and drop the wafer into my hands. And then the next minister would come by with the thing I liked the most. Now, the wafer I couldn't care about. I wanted to get rid of it. There were many, many, many Sundays when I would sneak it into the pocket of my shirt because I didn't like how it tasted. But what I was really looking forward to, and you couldn't have done it here because we do it by intention, but what I was really looking forward to was that little jigger of Jesus, that shot glass that we would have communion with there. And I would take it and I would love it because it always tasted so good. And you could feel that wonderful zing that you get when you drink that little shot glass of grape juice. And I would love that. And I would love being there with my family. And I would love being there and knowing that no matter where I was surrounded by love. I was surrounded by God's love in the church, in Mrs. Hill. Mrs. Hill was my Sunday school teacher when I was a kindergartner. And Mrs. Hill could look at you and literally melt you with her stare, especially if you were doing something that was wrong. But Mrs. Hill was the kind of person who would nevertheless, even after you'd been bad, turn and embrace you with her love and with God's love. It was that kind of love, regardless of what you've done, it embraced you. The love of family, the love of friends, the love of God. Embracing, protecting, nourishing, guiding, leading, teaching, the love of God, which rejected no one. Even my brother Chuck, from the table. And I know what my brother had done, and I didn't think he belonged there, but that's beside the point. I mean, you know, you grow up eventually, prayerfully. Although sometimes I wonder if my brother's ever going to grow up. It's that love, that welcoming, that surrounding, engulfing love of God that I would feel there in that place at that time. When I was just a child, that engulfing love of God that I just look to and remember today. And I believe it was that feeling that led to my fascination with communion, that led to my desire to learn more about it, to study it in school, in graduate school, to write a doctoral dissertation on the subject. I'm convinced that it was that childhood experience of being engulfed by love at the communion rail that led me to be where I am today. That engulfing with love. We've fought within the church for centuries, for almost 2,000 years, on how to talk about that engulfing love of God. Our sisters and brothers in the Baptist and Church of Christ, they have an understanding of that engulfing love of God that does not need instruments of any kind. The concept is known as means of grace theology. In their understanding, there is no need for any kind of instrument, tool, or method to receive that engulfing love of God. It can happen anywhere, any when, at any time, in any moment, and does not need any instrument to convey it.
Hence, when they come to the table of the Lord for communion, or when they sit and receive it in their pews, that is not an instrument for receiving God's grace. It's simply being in prayer to God. In other words, you can understand it in this way. The Holy Spirit, God's grace, falls upon the believer wherever they may be, whatever they may be doing, almost regardless, and despite the elements. The elements become therefore a work. You do it because Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Methodists fall on the other side of the spectrum with the Catholics and the Lutherans and the Episcopalians and some Presbyterians who believe that God's grace comes to us through means, through instrumentalities, like the Scriptures. You read them, God's grace comes to you. Prayer, you pray, God's grace comes to you. Fellowship, you engage in relationships with brothers and sisters, and God's grace comes to you. Service, you build a Habitat house, or you mow a neighbor's lawn, or you reach out to help another in the name of Christ Jesus, and God's grace comes to you. In other words, when we act in faith, God's grace comes to us. Coming to the table of the Lord and receiving the elements, the bread and the cup, when we do that, when we come in faith, God's grace comes to us. This instrumentality understanding of communion as a means of grace, a means by which that engulfing love of God comes to surround us, is the understanding that typifies, that undergirds the Methodist understanding. And you can find the Methodist understanding of communion printed in the book, This Holy Mystery, a United Methodist Understanding of Holy Communion, which was published by the 2004 General Conference. This actually is a commentary on it. It's in the middle of it, and there are commentaries written around it, by Gail Carlton Felton, who I took for sacramental theology when I was at Duke. And in this wonderful statement on Holy Communion, one of the things the church says is this: Holy Communion is remembrance, commemoration, and memorial. But this remembrance is much more than simply intellectual recalling. Do this in remembrance of me is anamnesis. Remember that word from last week? Anamnesis, the biblical Greek word, to be remembered to be brought into membership with again, to be recalled and remembered. That's anamnesis. This dynamic action becomes representation. Representation of past gracious acts of God in the present, so powerfully as to make them truly present now. Christ is risen and is alive here and now, not just remembered for what was done in the past. And another statement from it: United Methodists, along with other Christian traditions, have tried to provide clear and faithful interpretations of Christ's presence in the Holy Meal. Our tradition asserts the real, personal, living presence of Jesus Christ. For United Methodists, the Lord's Supper is anchored in the life of the historical Jesus of Nazareth, but is not primarily a remembrance or memorial. We do not embrace the medieval doctrine of transubstantiation, though we do believe that the elements are essential, tangible means through which God's grace works. We understand the divine presence in temporal and relational terms. In the holy meal of the church, the past, present, and future of the living Christ comes together by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we may receive and embody Jesus Christ as God's saving gift for the whole world. What happens here is not limited to just here. What happens here at the table of the Lord, what happens here in our congregations, isn't limited to just here. It extends. It's as if this table extends through that wall and through that wall and through that wall and through this wall out to every other table of the Lord present in the here and now. For a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ like me stands and proclaims the good news of God's unrestricted love, of God's engulfing love. But it's not just spatially unlimited to every table, everywhere, but also temporally unlimited. From this exact moment into the future, from this exact and precise moment in the past. Every single communing together is a communing together with every other single moment. Every time we come, we do not come alone. We come with everybody who has come and who will come, and with ourselves. It's the doctrine of the communion of the saints. All believers, all Christians, all members of the body of Christ, any and everywhere, come and receive together. Here at the table of the Lord, we proclaim Jesus' real presence. When we receive it, we believe that God's grace infuses us and engulfs us with the very presence of Jesus, so that we become the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears and the lips of Christ, to go out into a broken and hurting world and share Christ, the love of Christ, with others in what we do and what we say. It is a mystical act that in the fundamental sense we cannot truly comprehend. It's why we call it this holy mystery. We do not presume to be able to explicate it or explain it or define it entirely. But we can experience it. We can experience that engulfing love of God. As a 5-year-old, I could go to the table of the Lord and experience that engulfing love of God. I couldn't say transubstantiation, much less comprehend what the Catholics mean by that. But I could experience what it meant to be enfolded in the love of God. Like being wrapped up in a comforter on a cold morning when you don't, like this morning, when you don't want to climb out of bed because it's so comforting, so enfolding. I could experience it as a 5-year-old, even though I couldn't explain it. I am no different today than I was when I was 5. I can talk about it. I can discuss various aspects of it. I can struggle with what we mean when we say real presence and how it's real. But in the end, all I can do truly is experience it. And then share that experience with others. It is an experiential moment far more than an intellectual one. It is an experience of being remembered to Christ, and by that, being remembered to every other brother and sister. Not just here, but certainly here. Not just in every Methodist church, but certainly in every Methodist church. But with every other member of the body of Christ, wherever and whenever they may be. Come to the table of the Lord today and receive that wonderful, enfolding, engulfing grace and love of God. Experience the real presence of Christ in your life. And then go forth to share that love, that real presence, that joy and that peace.
with all.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2009 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.